fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app.
Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hashtag no music, no intro. My goodness, we Hurricane Francine is no joke. As we're recording this preview pod, we apologize for any type of technical difficulties that there may be. Ryan has no internet. We are recording this using, he's using his cell phone, he's using his data plan, all the data's adding up. And we are still here to try to talk about the New Orleans Saints taking on the Dallas Cowboys. Before we talk about football, just anyone in Mississippi, Louisiana, just dealing with Hurricane Francine, please, please stay safe. Well wishes to everyone out there, because it's no joke. Seems like the flooding's already hitting hard.
Yeah, man. Shouts out to my Louisiana people. Think the worst has gotten bad, but, you know, New Orleans, you can sneeze, it's going to flood. So, you know, it's flooding out there, so everybody just be safe. I know power outages all over and all that stuff, so just hunker down, and we're going to get through it like we do. I'm in Mobile, Alabama, and my internet just got knocked out. Been pristine all day, and it just is what it is.
So please, please, y'all, be safe out there. I know we got people on YouTube who don't have internet, some don't. Like, people are still tuning in to watch us talk about the New Orleans Saints. Like, that is just an insane fandom.
You just sitting there in the dark. Power out, man. You got nothing else to do, shit. You know, we'll talk about the Saints.
Might as well listen to niggas talking about the Saints. What a game! What a big game! If you had told me before the season that this game, one, we knew it was going to be a big game, but the fact that what it could be. The fact that they actually have a chance today in our Discord, people were like, we was breaking down the game, nigga. Like, we was breaking it down, right?
I haven't felt like that since we've been doing the Discord. It was like, because, you know, it's like the past couple seasons, it's been so much bigger than like the actual game. Like, a lot of the talk has just been more about the stuff outside of the football, you know what I'm saying? Or just the criticism and all that. But, like, to just be able to sit back and, like, you know, just really do, you know, look at the X and O's, like, what are the matchups? How we going to do this? Talk ball. I'm like, oh, man, where has this been all my life?
it's been so missed. I had to put on a little Tweet Swift after last night.
She came through, right?
the best PR game in the world, nigga. Like,
oh man,
if I ever make it big, I am calling her publicist up immediately.
Hey, she understands. She got power. She got power, boy.
Power, bruh. Understood the assignment. Can't understate how big this game is. Before the season, my uncle bought tickets to this game, and I was like, oh, man.
Here we go,
be in Dallas at the home opener watching these. And I get it's just the Panthers. They look bad on all fronts. But you even take the opponent out of it and just how they conducted their business. I'm not saying that they're going to go out and beat the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday. However, I do think prior to the season starting, I do think that they could be in the game and keep it close. And who knows, bro? Like, maybe they sneak out a win. I don't know if they're going to, but that I have confidence much more than I ever did before the start of the season.
I don't see how you can't. I don't see how you can't. Like, I understand, you know, being cautiously optimistic or just not willing to fully buy in. I believe that. But I don't see how you can not be just a little more optimistic after seeing week one. Throw the Panthers out. Just throw the Panthers out of the situation. They are terrible. We know that. They were terrible. But just looking at the Saints operation and how they approached it, you had to be. It just was promising, man. It was all I've been asking for the past few years. The team to come out, look prepared, execute on offense, defense, special teams, not shoot yourself in the foot. And they did that. They did that. They executed. They executed their game plan. It was a plan, you know, not a conception of a plan, it was an actual plan. It's actual plan. And
they, I have a concept of a plan.
Concept of a plan. They actually had a plan. It was like, whoa. And it was like, oh, I can't believe what I'm watching. Like they're executing. It was like, what was happening here?
It was insane. And I listened to a Derek Carr presser today, bruh. And something that there's the two biggest takeaways I took from the presser was, one, I really felt and heard, and I didn't get a sense that it was a salesman talk or speak of how humbling last season was for him. You could kind of hear it in his voice when he was talking. Like, he didn't even say anything about last season, but just his approach and his demeanor of how he communicated was different. Second thing I took away, and he said, and this is straight from Derek Carr, and I think it was Underhill who asked him the question, or maybe it was someone else, in regards to, like, what is his kind of freedom in the offense and changing plays. And he pretty much said, like, that is not his role in the offense. Now, if there's a defense comes out in a look that they're not expecting, then yes. But ultimately, he said that there are things built into the offense that you just go out and you run what it's called. If it's not there, then you do this. If that's not there, you do this. And he came out and just said that that's what he's doing in this offense. And I think that is both of those, the humbleness and just him being the point guard, is huge for the Saints offense.
100%, bro. 100%. And that's literally what they're doing. You know, Clint Kubiak, his staff, they are doing the mental gymnastics that we asked Drew Brees to do, you know, within 0.5 seconds after the snap. They're doing that, you know, within the game plan, before the snap, they're making adjustments.
Right.
And getting that down to Derek Carr to where he has, you know, basically like, you know, 3 or 4 decisions to make. Do this, if this, then this. If this, if not this, then that, the blah, blah. 2 or 3 decisions to make. You know, something that's easy to handle for a guy, you know, of his intelligence. It just makes everything work better. And another thing it adds is he can play with just a little more confidence, you know, because defenses do so much. You have what you see before the snap, you snap the ball, and defenses show something else. All he has to do out is go out and execute. And if it doesn't work, on to the next play. On to the next play. So it's amazing. You had talk about the Rashid Shaheed throw in the fifth play of the game. And just the fact that he stood there in the pocket, it was like his second or third read on the progression, and stand in the face of pressure and just deliver an accurate ball downfield. I just was shocked. I was shocked every time I look at it. I'm like, that is not a play call with me. I mean, he had always had the arm, but he would tap that ball and he'd get skittish in the pocket and all that. Nah, man, he looked death in the eye, bro. And is that gonna be a thing going? Is that gonna be a thing going in the future? I don't know. But it was nice to see just in that one game.
Dante said he went through his reads well Sunday, so maybe he is a reactive quarterback versus a diagnosing pre-snap.
Yes. Very true.
Mark said, I want Clint to gape the Cowboys schematically. So they, listen, man, I'll say this. It's going to be a tough test. That Mike Zimmer defense, you kind of watch some of the things that they did against the Browns. That Mike Zimmer defense was absolutely humming. And someone before you hopped on, I think it was our dude Wayne, he put this in the Discord, and I'm going to read it to you. Where'd it go? Okay. So he said, like, this is like sicko football stuff. We get to be sickos again about football. He said, super late request, something to look into after this Cowboys preview pod. It seems that Cowboys defensive coordinator Mike Zimmer has a 4-2 record of gains against the Shanahan offense. You think that Clint has anticipated this ahead of the game, or should that be something we as fans be cautious of ahead of the Cowboys game? We talking about, should we be cautious against, nigga, do you understand? Like, do y'all get that?
Like, just flashback a week and a half ago, we weren't even thinking like this, bro. We were like, bro,
it's nice. And I'll say this, I don't know how to answer that, but I will say that I think we have to be very careful and not just labeling Clint's offense just a Shanahan offense. He has taken things from Kyle. He's taken things from his dad, and he's kind of molded that together into his own creation of the offense and his offense. Like, he has kind of like Frankenstein some things and kind of created his own separate thing. And again, this is one game, but I've watched a lot of football in my life. The things he was doing on Sunday, bruh, Ryan, oh my God, I can't even, Ryan.
I mean, you got Rasheed Shaheed lined up in the backfield and Taysom offset, and you got AK right there on the lined up at wide receiver, Jawan Johnson on the line. It's like, it presents so many just. It, I just love the fact that he looked at the personnel and said, man, we got so many matchup nightmares that we could just we could dictate so many situations, exploit so many situations just with the personnel and where we line them up and stuff like that. I just love that he saw that and is implementing it, you know?
It's the shit that Sean Payton's offense used to do.
Yeah, exactly.
All that said, Clint, and I know he will, and I know he will. It'll come in terms of execution. Obviously, when you think of the Cowboys defense, you think of number 11, Booty Bandit. He just, your eyes goes right to him. If I'm Clint, and I think he's going to try it. Now, you could try it, and sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't. First thing I'm doing is I am running right at him with Trevor Penning on the move. I'm also taking Taysom in a motion. I'm putting two men on 11 in run plays to try to just dictate and wear down that Cowboys defensive line. They got the thing that scares me about this game the most is the speed that the Cowboys defense has.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I went back and watched a lot of their defensive snaps against the Browns, and that's what stood out the most, man. Just the speed. The kid that got a weak side linebacker, Overshawn. I think he was injured last year. Overshawn. Yeah, that boy flies, bro. Like, he flies around the field. He gonna be on AK like a magnet. I could already see it. And like you're talking about the D line, like you said,
We never gonna get a crazy AK game against the Cowboys, bro. If it's not Overshawn, it's Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch. Like, we just can't. Never gonna get that.
Never. We always got these linebackers, bro. Always got these linebackers. Always, bro. And But like you said, man, run at Michael Parsons, because what they'll do when you run at him, they just can't tee off like that. And just with the way Kubiak does the play action and the misdirection and all that stuff, he can't tee off like he wants. And that helps Trevor Penning. That helps all the other tackles, Fuaga. That helps everybody. You know, you get the chip. You know, you don't know if you're going to chip or if you're going to double on me. It just creates that little split second of indecision, you know. But, I mean, the problem is it's not just Mike. I mean, I was watching Osu. Whatever his last name is. First name, Osu. That boy is nasty. I don't know, I didn't watch much of him last year. I don't know if he's injured or whatever. But this year, that boy, I'll tell you. And he was coming at them left guards, and he was tearing them up, man. Tearing them up. D-Law, we know DeMarcus Lawrence, he's still a dog.
And the thing you said about Osu, the left guard, Lucas Patrick, on the injury report, he left the game against the Panthers early. He was a DNP today. So you may have they may have Landon Young at left guard. Maybe it's Sasa Verde, but I would, if I was a betting person, I would probably more than likely guess it would be Landon Young if Lucas Patrick can't go. This is a game where Wayne said the Cowboys had 6 sacks and Micah only had 1 sack but 9 pressures.
This
is a game where if they can't run well and run consistently, they are not going to win this game. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Simple as that. If they cannot be ahead of the chains in terms of yardage, if they're 3rd and 7, they're 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, it's going to be it's going to be loud. It's Dallas's home opener. So the offensive line, we gave them Sean against the Panthers, and they it's not like they were going to get slappies against the Panthers to be like, you had Derrick Brown, you had Jadeveon Clowney, your twin Bijan Robinson, like there's some guys on the Panthers defensive line. However, the difficulty is jumping up to like extra hard when you're going against the Cowboys. Oh, yeah. And so we're going to see how far this offensive line has come along in an off season.
No question. I was listening to Bill Belichick today on his show on YouTube, and you know, he talked about how important it is the improvement from week 1 to week 2 is just around the league. Like, it's kind of a race to see who improves the most between week, because everybody starts week 1. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much a level playing field. You know, nobody really knows their opponent as well. They don't need to put on their opponent as well. They got new coaches, new players. Then there's that 1 week, week 1 to week 2 improvement, and it's kind of like a race to see who can really improve. So it's going to be, man, it's a fascinating game, bro. Like, it is a fascinating. We just talking about the defense. We didn't even get to how our defense matches up with the offense yet.
You know what's funny? Before we make that flip, we talked about how fast the Cowboys defense is. I know probably Clint is in the lab, but there will probably be chances in this game where if you catch Dallas coming hot, you might be able to exploit that on a screen, on a draw, on something where their over eagerness defensively and over aggression. And listen, we have, as Saints fans, we know all about Mike Zimmer. We do, bro. That was a 2018 game against the against the Vikings in the playoffs. Mike Zimmer was just working the Saints offensive line, bro. Working it, bro. And that was with like a Ryan Ramczyk and shit, bro. Like, it was.
Yeah, man.
So we know that with Mike Zimmer, he can dial up some stuff. And no offense to that Vikings defense, but I would argue that the talent on the Cowboys defense is better. But there are some things in the secondary with the Cowboys I think can be exploited. I know that I know that Diggs is a good corner, and he's gotten a lot better in terms of being more of just like a interception guy, and he's worked on his technique. He's still susceptible to double moves. Like, that's still something from time to time that he can be got on. Jordan Lewis has been a very good, consistent corner for a very long period of time. This game is really going to be telling, and I'm just fascinated to know what the offensive game plan is going to be against the Cowboys defense.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating, bro, because the thing about the Cowboys is they're kind of similar to the 49ers in the sense that they are built to get ahead on you and then just beat you down.
Yes.
But if you could get ahead of them, you could put that defense into some quandaries. So, you know, it will be interesting to see if Clint tries to cook up some big plays early, you know, maybe some shot plays or something like that to, you know, get ahead, and then you're able to control the game more. Because one thing you don't want to do is fall behind in this game, and then they just tear off. They tear off on Derek Carr. They tear off on Trevor Penning. You know, the playbook shrinks a little more. You can't use play action how you want and all that. That's what you don't want to see.
No. Eric Martinez said, I really think Taysom is going to be an X factor in this game.
I hope so.
Wolf, the NFL season is around the corner, and you know what that means. Sports gambling is going to be in full effect.
Yes, sir. The degenerates are out, and they're trying to make some money.
Money. Look no further than Swamp Daddy Betts. He's partnered with DubClub.win, and you can get all of his NFL and other sports plays for $5 a month with promo code SAINTS.
We are partnering with a guy, Swamp Daddy Betts, who is going to have access to some of the best cappers you can get. If you sign up through Swamp Daddy Betts, you can get access to Dub Club for $5, and that will get you access to some of the best sports cappers out there, so you can make the best plays for the week. You get access to their Discord, all the reliable information that you need to make money.
Money. That's dubclub.win at Swamp Daddy Betts. Promo code SAINTS. Promo code SAINTS. $5 a month. Start getting out there and making money.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I feel like in a game like this, when I think about a defense like the Cowboys, and you know how Mike Zimmer has his defenses, man, they are tough. They are physical. They are going to hit the hell out of you. And going back to that playoff game against the Vikings, the player that stood out the most in that game offensively for the Saints was Taysom Hill. Like, he almost won that game on his own. So there absolutely may be something to that of him potentially being the X factor. Sherm, so we're switching over, kind of talking Saints defense going against the Packers. Sorry, against the Cowboys offense. Can our defense match Dallas offense? That is the key. Whoever controls the line of scrimmage will most likely win this game. It's so funny because, like, you could say that about like almost every football game. But there are some games when you say that, and it's like it is more paramount than usual. Here's the thing. I know Marshawn didn't practice today, and Honey Badger didn't practice either, those are both big concerns. I'm not saying like I feel super, I'm not 100% confident in our defense against their offense, but I know that our defense will man up and do well against their offense. That's not something that really worries me, because our defense are going to be up. They're going to be amped. They are going to want to take the challenge and upstage the Dallas defense. That's just how they are. That's their mentality.
No question about it. No question. You know, DeMario Davis going to be ready to go. I know Chase Young going to be ready to go. He's itching to get – he had, like, a bunch of pressures. He didn't get a sack, but he had a bunch of pressures in that game. I know he's itching to get on the box score. It's going to be fascinating, bro, because one thing watching the game against the Panthers, I thought the D-line left a lot of sacks on the field. Like, the little thing Bryce did do is he did avoid a lot of sacks. I mean, I know Alante Taylor got him on some blitzes a couple times, but he was able to juke a lot of sacks and just buy time. But he just – even though he bought time, he just couldn't throw an accurate pass after that, so it didn't matter. But you don't, you know, that will make those passes. Like, you don't want Dak escaping pressure and stuff like that, because he's gonna hit those passes. So it's gonna be interesting that they get home, bro. Like Chase Young, Cam Jordan, Big Creep, all those guys. They gotta get home. They gotta hit Dak, and that can be got. You know what I'm saying? Like that can be got. He can be frazzled. Yeah. Yes. Once you start hitting on him, you can get a little frazzled, get a little happy feet. So that's gonna be key, especially early. It's going to be key to, you know, just getting that pressure.
The Cowboys drafted a left tackle first round in the draft, Tyler Guyton, just like the Saints did with Fuaga. So you're going to have I know when Dallas sees the Saints offensive line, right? They circle 70 and they say, we got to attack him. We have to, you know, that's who we attack in almost every play. Right. That's just smart coaching. DA, he got to put that same pressure on a rookie. Chase Young, whether some stunts, whether it is, what make his head swim a little bit and make him. And I know that's what the Browns want, you know, did with Myles Garrett going against him at the left tackle. So that's something that they definitely want to try to take advantage of. A big player who isn't on the injury report, and I think for this game it's going to be huge, is Willie Gay.
Yeah.
Willie Gay wasn't on the injury report, so that means he practiced full. Gay in a game like this with Dak and potentially the ability for him to scramble, and just Gay's athleticism is going to, like, in a, like, it is like these next 2 weeks with Dallas and then Philly, the signing of Gay is going to be huge with the athleticism that he can bring defensively in terms of quarterback, you know, spying the quarterback and what have you, that hopefully prevents the problems that the Saints have had and Dennis Allen has had against stopping mobile quarterbacks for years.
Exactly. And another positive is, it's not that you don't have to worry about the Dallas run game, because they will run the ball, but there's nobody that's going to leave you, you know, up at night before worrying about running the ball. I mean, they got Zeke Elliott back there. You know, he's a jag now. He can run the ball. He can move the chains. He's a smart player, but he's not, you know, busting out 30, 40-yard runs nowhere. And they got a couple other guys that are, you know, serviceable running backs, but – you know, one low-key thing I did notice in the Panthers game, but I'm still questioning it, is how good is the Saints' run defense now. It hadn't been very good the last 2 years. It looked good versus the Panthers, but, again, the Panthers couldn't really do anything offensively. So, and plus, they got down. They were down 30 points before the half was over. So, you know, they couldn't run the ball like they wanted to anyway. So, I'm really interested to see how well the Saints' run defense performs. And that's going to be important. It's going to be important because, you know, just like we don't want to become pass happy against this defense, Mike McCarthy's thinking the same thing. He doesn't want to get that pass happy against the Saints defense. So it's going to be important for us to stop that run really early and get him into those third and nine, third and ten situations to where the Saints defense can get some pressure and Dennis Allen can cook it up.
Put out a hot take in the Discord. And it's hot when you just say it out loud. I don't think it's completely wild, though. You said for this game, if, you know, Marshawn Lattimore, he didn't practice today. He was DNP. Obviously, if he was healthy, he more than likely would be matched up against CeeDee Lamb. You said for this game, you would go with Adebo and Alante as the corners. And obviously, then Kool-Aid would be on the field in some type of way. if, like, you feel like that's a better matchup right now for where Marshawn is health-wise and maybe some rust that he's still trying to shake off from not playing all preseason and all training camp.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's not that they're better than Marshawn overall, but just looking at him in this Panthers game, I thought, you know, he got lucky quite a bit, just due to Bryce Young. He got injured. He was getting beat when he got injured on it to get pulled his hamstring. He was getting beat on like a crosser from Thielen. He looked rusted, like, which makes sense. He missed literally all of training camp with a hip issue. And then, you know, had like 2 weeks to get prepared and then, you know, his hammy and all that stuff. So, I mean, he's rusty. It just is what it is. And being rusty against CeeDee Lamb, they got the big checks hit in his bank, man. You know, I don't know. I like him, Latte. And look, they move CeeDee Lamb around a lot. He's not like he lines up in one spot.
All over.
Shoot, he runs out the backfield. He does everything. Look, Latte, I like a big, long corner with arms. Like, I mean, I like that matchup. Adebo, he looked good against the Panthers. He looked like he's still ready to go. Like, I like the matchups, man. And even Kool-Aid, I wouldn't want him going against CeeDee, but, you know, but look, they got Brandon Cooks, too. Brandon Cooks had a touchdown. I mean, maybe he lost a step, but he still get down the field. He's still like a speed demon, and he still can bust a game open. So, I mean, I don't know how they would address that. Will they try to bracket him with, you know, a corner and a safety, or, you know, do you put a man on him and press him and, you know, try to get him off his mark a little bit, disrupt the timing? It's going to be interesting, bro. Like, and it looks like the tight end, what is it? What is his name? Ferguson?
Jake Ferguson.
Jake Ferguson.
Pulling a DeMarcus Ware, bro.
Look like he's shaking back already, man. Like, come on, man.
He was a DM. He did not practice today, but he may be able to go on Sunday. We'll see. It's just exciting to talk about a game of this match. Nigga, all the hoes watching. This is game of the week.
Yeah, buddy.
If they going to Dallas and Clint put up 30 plus against the Cowboys defense, bro.
Beating Dallas is just always memorable, bro. Like,
Every game that we've bent them, bro.
Everyone, bro. Even down seasons, like the what's that game where we won in overtime and Breeze hit 400 touchdowns, CJ Spiller game? Like, that was a 7-9 season, but we remember that game. We remember that.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure do.
The first game with Sean Payton era, you know, with the fullback touchdowns and the
Mike Carney, Reggie Bush.
Like, those games are classic, bro. So beating the Cowboys, man, that'll earn DA some stripes. That'll earn Derek Carr some stripes. Telling you,
man,
go and get that dub.
Please, I need it, bro. Like, I need it.
You gonna be in the building.
I will say something that I'll be in the building, bro. Up close, nigga. Up close. I have seen them play the Cowboys. I've seen them play the Cowboys twice in person, and in both games they did not win. So this is, I believe this is game three. So we'll see what happens.
I will
throw out a very underrated thing about the injury report offensively is Hulker was a limited practice.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that if he's able to go, did Foster Moreau practice?
I believe he did. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope he's truly good. Cause that looked not good.
It looked scary. Yeah.
But it did. But if, yeah, so Foster Moreau practice, he was limited, and Hulker practice, he was limited as well. Fuaga practice, limited back. Jalen Ford practice, limited hamstring. I just have a feeling that if Monroe, Holker, and Juwan can go on Sunday, I feel like that is like a little matchup, because that's something that Clint can keep under his sleeve in terms of using three tight ends and try whatever he wants to do. Whether it be matchup wise, whether it be blocking scheme, whatever it is, that's another thing at his disposal that he may be able to use. That, and he didn't need it in week one, bro. He didn't need it. But in a game like this, in a defense like this, every little thing that you can utilize to your disposal helps.
And it also looked like A.T. Perry is shaking back, and you know, we'll see if he gets a start, not a start, but he gets active on this game, because they need some size on that field, man. As far as
they do, man,
you know, the wide receiver, they need some size. They got a lot of small, shifty guys. So if A.T. Perry could get in there, no real game tape on him, you know, he could bust out a few plays, and A.T. Perry, A.T. Perry can make big plays and catch a lot of intermediate stuff. He can kind of do it all when he's on.
When he's on.
When he's on.
Let's go clean up some of the comments in the chat real quick. Eric Martinez says, I hate the Cowboys. Me too. I am expecting a loss, but I'm hoping for a win. DA just doesn't give me confidence yet. Here's my thing. I completely understand it. I'm not, like, my confidence isn't in DA per se. Like, and here's the thing. I think DA will have a good game plan against the Cowboys. I truly, truly believe that. My confidence more than anything stems from Clint Kubiak. That's where the confidence comes from. If they are going to be who they think they can be this season, I'm not going to say Clint Kubiak's going to be the sole reason, but he's going to be a huge part of that reason, because the offense looks completely different. It looks completely different. Sherm said, Adam, that I better save some of my voice for the meetup. It depends on how the game goes. I will leave it at that. Them niggas are scoring touchdown after touchdown, and I'm in the building, nigga. I tweeted it, bro. I might get arrested in that bitch, bro. They gonna hate me. Y'all let Derek Carr come in here and put that dick on your like that. Like,
He's talking shit, bro.
And here's the thing. We know that so many people from Louisiana migrated and moved to Dallas and Fort Worth and Houston after Katrina. So anytime you go to a Cowboys game, there are also shit tons of Saints fans there. So if things start getting to the point where, like, it's getting out of hand and we're up, bro, you gonna hear that Who That Champ break out. You are 100% gonna hear it. I need it, bro. It was probably the meetup game. We beat the Bears. But Dante said it'll be a takeover for sure. Eric Martinez said, if we beat the Cowboys, I'm bought in again and we're going to the Super Bowl. If we beat the Cowboys, if they beat the Cowboys, I would say at that point, I would believe that they could make some noise in the postseason. Truly.
Yeah. Like, how would you feel if they lost this game? And say it's not like a terrible loss when they get wiped off the field, but say, you know, it's 28-23 or something like that, and it just not enough. You know, just not enough. You know, they do pretty well, keep the game close, but it's just not enough. How would you feel?
That would show me something. However, it's not exactly the same. It's not exactly the same. But I'm going to take you back to two seasons ago. Me and our dude, Who That Homo, Eric, was at that San Francisco game. Now this was pre Brock Purdy San Francisco. Okay, but you still had C-Mac, they had Debo, they had Ayuk. DA cooked up a plan, and I get it, it was Jimmy G, but he cooked up the plan that largely held that off. And Marshawn did not play that game. He was injured. So it was Alante and Debo starting at corner. He cooked up a game plan that pretty much really held up against the San Francisco defense. Yep. I think they scored 13 points, maybe 12, maybe like 20 after like a garbage touchdown. And the offense, it was offense and Andy Dalton and Pete Carmichael
didn't do nothing.
Didn't score a single point. I was there, nigga. I witnessed it. This game, and if you just break it down in terms of like offense, defense, how good of a team the Cowboys, you know, are personnel wise, talent wise. That's how I feel going into this game, kind of the similar mindset. The only difference is we now have an offensive coordinator that, you know, if Clint could put up 24, 28 points against the Cowboys defense, bruh, you're giving yourself a chance to win the game. Absolutely right. Giving yourself a chance to win the game. Because I have confidence that the Saints defense can put up a good fight against the Cowboys offense. So it's going to be exciting to see. But just the fact that we're talking about it, we're breaking it down. Our new Tiger Fist 88 said, we got Rick Dennison as the run game coordinator. He was OC for Gary Kubiak when Adrian Foster and Ben Tate was chopping niggas up like the Mexican cartel. They run. Hey, listen, you keep the shot away from Rick Dennison, nigga. I don't care. Keep it away from him.
It's crazy, bro. That man, I mean, AK averaged 5.5 yards a carry, bro, in this game. Hadn't done that since 2020. Since 2020, crazy, Adam.
4 years, Ryan. President term done passed since this man had 5.5 yards, nigga.
Unbelievable, bro. Literally. Demar Williams gapping in the end zone on the outside run. Like, what is happening?
I need it, bro. Oh my God, bro. I'm not expecting 47 points against the Cowboys in Dallas. But if they can replicate half of it, nigga, and win the game. Oh my! I need it. I need. Anyway, thank y'all for tuning in. We apologize, but at the end of the day, like we can't. This is nature. Like Ryan does not have internet. Period. But we appreciate y'all. We got 55 concurrent viewers right now. Anyhow, we appreciate like y'all coming. Please like, subscribe, all of it. And be safe out there. And hopefully the storm will pass. And then hopefully the Saints will come out and surprise us surprise us a little bit. But continue surprising us in a positive way and come out with a win on Sunday. I will say this. If they win on Sunday, that is the biggest win that the Saints have had since we started doing this podcast, since the Tom Brady picks, PJ Williams pick six. This is how big this game is. This is how big this game is. If they pull it off, it is that level. Because we've had, you know, we had the Drew Brees like magnificent game he had against Tampa Bay in Tampa Bay, where you know Adam Troutman was catching touchdowns and shit like that. You had that game. You had the game that DA coached as the interim coach and, you know, shut Tampa Bay out. And then you had the pick six Tom. Like, those have been, like, our big games since we have started this podcast. Like, those have been the big three.
Yep.
If they win on Sunday, it is in that elk of victories since we've started this podcast. And we've been doing this podcast for 4.5 years. That's how big this game is.
Huge, bro. Huge. And this is, you know, this is a chance for DA to beat a good team. Like, show us. We've been saying, go and beat a good team. Not a Minshew-led Eagles, not a Tampa Bay, you know, Buccaneer, you know, Baker Mayfield. No. An actual good team that's in the playoffs every year, that's winning 12 games every year. Go out there. Every year. Go and beat them. Oh, and beat them, man. Show us.
What did the Titans defensive coordinator say? Leave no doubt. Like, that's what I want, nigga. Like, I don't. That said, I don't care if they went on the last second field goal, nigga. It could be. There could be doubt. Just go out and win.
Go win this one.
Anyway, we will be back. So we are doing the recap pod. Shout out to our dude Dante. Shout out to our dude Paul. Patreons, great people. I asked them to find a place so we could do like the recap pod. So they're gonna be. They found a place in Dallas. Spoiler alert: it's Chili's because you just can't go wrong with the Chili's, nigga. And they reached out to a Chili's in Dallas and found a spot that was okay with me coming and doing the recap pod. And Dante and Paul gonna be with me and as we That's do the up. Recap pod, as we doing it with Ryan. Win or loss, but it, nigga, I'll say this, nigga. If them Saints win on Sunday. I don't know how many $6 margaritas I might have in that Chili's, nigga. Y'all might get me at my most absolute ignorant if they beat the fucking Cowboys on Sunday, nigga. Just pouring, just knocking back $6 margaritas and just ordering fajitas, nigga. Just keep them coming. Keep them coming, nigga.
Oh, man, we need it, bro.
We need it, man. But we appreciate y'all. We love y'all. We'll be back on Sunday. The recap may be a little later because I'll be at the game. I'm going home, hanging out with my uncle. We're going to wait for traffic to go down. So the recap's going to be a little later on Sunday, but we will have it for y'all. We appreciate y'all. We love y'all. We'll be back on Sunday. Who dat? Go Saints with that. Oh, one more thing. Time out. Before we end. Sorry. Dante said he's going to be pissy. Sorry. You and I have not talked about yes, please, Cutwater sponsorship, please. We and I have not talked about the agenda since we talked about it with Scott of Field Vision when he came on for the Panthers preview pod. But something that I mentioned in the Discord, going back to the whole point about Derek Carr, is when was the last time Derek Carr had true competition at the quarterback position that pushed him? Has he had any competition his whole career from the Raiders?
I can't think.
Now, sometimes John Gruden flirted a lot. John Gruden flirted all the time. But he was always the guy in Oakland and Vegas, and he's always been the guy in New Orleans, even though it was only one season last year. This is the first time that someone came in and listen, Derek Carr is not a spring chicken. He realizes that, hypothetically, if he were to lose his job, whether it be by injury, whether it be by whatever it is, there's not a 100% chance that he may get another starting job out there in the NFL. It's the first time he's actually been pushed in his career. So there's been this whole thing for the agenda, anti the agenda. You cannot argue that Spencer Rattler, him being drafted and then his play in the preseason, Derek Carr is on high alert that he has to go out there and produce. Period.
Straight up.
Even if he is the quarterback three the rest of the season, it has, and again, it's one game, but if this has translated to us as fans getting the best version of Derek Carr, honestly, the agenda worked for everybody, even if the agenda is at quarterback three, is it not? Like, this...
Hey, that's a win. We win.
A win, bro.
Period.
Regardless, at the end of the day, we win. That's all we want. We want to win. We want our team to win. We want to have fun. And that is it. Dante said, oh, he knows it. That's why he was on the sideline talking shit like Tupac.
That's it. So you know what, when you're winning, it's not even aggravated, bro.
Bro, he did that little shoulder roll. I was like, I heard of Derek. Told J.C. Horn, nigga, I got... Derek maybe did say them, but he said, I got three on you. You got three on you.
Throw us down, boy.
We are the most pettiest fan base in the league. We love shit like that. So when you are going out there and you producing, man, talk your shit. We love it. Yeah, period.
Exactly.
And that's what our podcast has always been about. When the Saints are doing well and players are playing well, we going to praise them to the highest of levels. And when they are not playing well, they're playing shitty, then we flame them. That's just what we do. That is no different than sports talk radio. Is it not?
Thank you. We are Saints fans. That's all we are.
Now, we don't have this podcast, and I'm going to say this hyper. There's some hyperbole associated with it, and obviously it's in jest. We done bullied Andres Pete. We done bullied Cesar Ruiz. We done bullied Trevor Pennon. It works. Hashtag bullying works, nigga. We got a whole ass offensive line now that out here producing. So all that to say, we're not talking about Spencer Rattler anymore, but you can guarantee that the starting quarterback of the Saints felt the pressure of a young quarterback coming in that might be really, really good, to the point that national media people were talking about. People in the organization was talking about it. So he knows that if he is not on his game every single time he steps outside, you don't have that. We talked about it all the time. It's all about protecting your desk, right? That's how the Saints operate. You got to protect you. Can't fire me. I'm doing this. I didn't. You can't do that when you got a young gunslinger on the sideline that can go out there and produce, bro. You can't just protect your spot. You got to produce.
Exactly.
That's it. That's all I wanted to say. But we will be back on Sunday evening. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. Y'all safe out there in this storm. And with that, we're out.
Peace.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.